You have success in the world sense, and you have success in God's kingdom. But the Word of God says, Jesus said himself, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else would be given unto you. So when we pursue success in God's kingdom and in his way of doing it, the world's success follows right behind. But it's not a deceptive success, because Satan can bless people, and I use that word very carefully. It's an illusion. Okay, people make bargains and pacts with the enemy. And yes, can he give that? I mean, he made it quite clear to Jesus when he appeared to him in the desert. He said, all this has been given to me, and I give it to whom I please. Okay, so that is a false level of success, and you'll end up destroying you, and that's the purpose of it. But when we pursue success in God's kingdom, that the kind of blessing that only God can, in his infinite wisdom and glory, can figure out for our lives, can bring us to a place far greater than we could ever plan on or ever imagine. Well, I should hope after this introduction, you're probably hungry. They're like, okay, well, tell me. Well, I have 7 steps to guaranteed success. If you do these 7 steps, it's guaranteed. It's written in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for your word. Father, thank you for just an awesome time of fellowship we've already had in your presence. Lord, I just ask for your anointing, your blessing on this word. Father God, I pray that our ears are opened up to our hearts, Lord God, that your word would go down into well-groomed soil, Father God, bearing 100-fold return in our lives. Father God, I pray that this word would not be stolen from us, Lord, that we would not be distracted, Father, or hindered in any way by the enemy. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, our text that we're going to be looking at tonight is from 2 Peter. If you would, go ahead and turn there. Chapter 1. I was talking to Rich this morning. I was like, I come up with these teachings. I had the outline yesterday, and I wrote this today, and I have 5 computer-printed-out sheets from this teaching that I did today. Okay, and we helped do the planning for our house, and I went to the doctor with Rich and said, they're going, Lord, I got it prepared tonight. God's faithful, amen, I was able to finish it. But it's like, it's just so easy. And I feel sometimes like when I come up with these teachings, it's like you're almost cheating. It's like, because God's word is so rich. If you just take a segment that kind of just piques your interest, and you know, it's kind of like if you've studied the Word and you've dug into the Word, you know that God hides things in his Word. And when you press in, you begin to uncover and unlock those doors, and you go in and you're like, and it just keeps taking you deeper and deeper, and you get hungrier and hungrier and more excited for God's Word. That's all I do, folks. I am not, you know, this, I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't go to seminary. Or anything. I just love God, and I love his word. And that's all the credentials, basically, I have. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you on your own to do your own Bible studies. If you're ever reading the Bible and you're like, there's got to be more to this, start digging and you will find so much. It'll just bless you so much. All right, looking at starting with verse number 2, in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, I'm reading out of the King James, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's like, whoa, that's a lot there. That is heavy. I mean, I could probably do like a 4-week study on that. Yeah. And there is a lot in just that group of sentences right there. Well, picking it apart, I love to look at the Greek. I like to look at the Hebrew. I feel that that's where the truest translation is. You find out what these words really mean and all of their richness. Starting in verse 2, the Word of God tells us that grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. if you don't know God, you don't have access into His grace and peace. Now, there's going to come a point where Jesus is going to say to people who believe they were Christians, He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." And they're going to say, "But Lord, we cast out demons, we prophesied in your name." And He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I think out of all the sentences in the entire Bible, I think that to me is the most unsettling of them all. Because I don't want to hear that. And I want to make sure that I know the Lord. I want to be working with Him, be a partaker of His divine nature, be a partner with what He's doing in this world. That way, when you know God, you have so much confidence and peace when troubles come your way. It's kind of like they literally bounce off your shield. Because you know your God. You know your loving Father God. You've seen Him work before. You're like, okay, yeah, He'll take care of this too. Devil, just, you know, go your way. And you have that peace. That's the grace and the peace. The word, I looked it up in the concordance. Grace means their goodwill, loving kindness, and favor. So we have goodwill, God's loving kindness towards us when we know Him, when we spend time with Him. The peace word there means a state of, this is interesting, national tranquility. Now, I thought you see the word peace, you automatically assume it means peace in your mind and your heart. That's actually not what it says. I was really surprised. It means exemption from the rage and havoc of war. That's a little bit different meaning there than just your peace or shalom peace, well, which is Hebrew. It means peace between individuals, harmony, security, safety, prosperity. The tranquil state of a soul being assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatsoever that is. That is an all-encompassing peace. This is a peace that means that God's going to make your enemies be at peace with you. You're going to live in a place that's going to have peace in it. You're not going to be warring and fighting against people. You're going to have peace in your heart because you know your Lord and you have that security of your salvation. You're confident of that, of your relationship with God. And that peace is on the outside of you as well, on the inside of you as well. That's complete and perfect peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. So, wow, we're just on the first two words here. This is going to be multiplied unto you. You don't get just one dose of this. It's going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And it's like, wow, okay, how do I get this? How do I get into this? Through the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the word there, it says in verse 3, it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain. The word power there is a word, the Greek word dunamis, which is, we're given, now listen to this carefully, God's strength, His power and ability.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, just because we spend time in His Word and we do His Word, we're given this? It doesn't even seem fair. How could we be partakers of God's very nature of who He is, that He bestows this on us so richly? And we're going, wow, that's why we could do miracles. That's why I'm so excited. I've got at least 10 people signed up for my class. They're going to learn how to do miracles. Cast out demons. That's what it's called. And you know what? We get to see God's power. We get to see Him move. We get to see people getting saved in that room next door when they come for food and they come and accept the Lord. That's a miracle. That's one of the greatest miracles. It's a salvation. They go from a dead spirit to a live spirit. That person literally went from being dead to an angel writing their name in the Lamb's Book of Life as you pray the prayer of salvation with them. And then all of the heaven rejoices.
Yeah.
They had 5 parties in heaven last Saturday just from this little church. Amen? Think about all the people around the world. They must be going up for grabs up in heaven. You know, you know, 1,000 people just got saved at so-and-so's crusade. It must be a blast up there. Think about it. If you're always rejoicing and the new people are coming in, think of the joy that's in God's kingdom, that's in His family. And he wants us to have that same kind of joy in our lives. All right, so looking at verse 3, we've got his power. He is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So the word life is a Greek word there, zoe, which means the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. A life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God and blessed. That's zoe life. That's not you're full of, you know, this latest caffeine drink, Red Bull, and you're out running the soccer field. That's not zoe life, okay? Zoe life is believing God even when you're tired. You know, get to know that scripture from Isaiah. You know, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I can't tell you how many times I say that. We're in our fifth ministry appointment for the week, and I'm like brushing my teeth, reciting that scripture, Lord. And you know what? By the time I get here, I'm totally okay, totally fine, totally full of energy because God's renewing my strength. Okay, he had zoe life because I'm not using it to just, you know, see if I could power shop at Walmart, but I'm out over here and I'm serving God. Amen? I do power shop at Walmart, though. Rich has to drag me bodily from the store sometimes. He does. Nodding his head wildly over there. Okay. All right. Godliness. What does godliness mean? You know, sometimes we think we know what these are until we ask ourselves, and we're like, you know, I really don't know. Godliness is reverence or respect, piety towards God. Okay, so that means you're living your life in the knowledge of God. It's not, okay, it's Sunday morning, I better flip over to my Christian switch. Okay, church is over, 1 o'clock, flip back to who I really am. No, if you have two lives, if you're different when you come to church, something's not right. Because you have to be the same. Your walk, because you're not fooling God either. I mean, it's not like he just lives here. He goes home with you. And he sees the way you live. He sees what you do. He sees how you interact with your family. What do you do on your workplace? What do you do with your free time? Okay? That having the knowledge that the Lord is with you all the time will keep you reverent towards God. It will, if you keep, and that's practicing the presence of God. Some of you may have heard that phrase. It's popular several years ago. There are books written about it. But it's a really good practice when you realize that everywhere you go, the Lord is there. Everywhere. And you know, when you do that and you practice that continually, you begin to realize he's so much there that prayer isn't just, there's a time where we reverentially give ourselves over to devoted prayer. But then there's times we're just in conversation. I'll just be doing my thing. Or, you know, I like today I was writing this and I was like, Lord, this is so easy. Why don't more people teach this way? Why isn't this taught this way? And just like that, he goes, because they think it's boring and that they'll lose their membership. I mean, just like that, it was like the Lord was right there as if he was standing right there. And I asked a question, believing he would answer me, and he did. And he didn't an answer. And it's like, you can have that communion with the Father. It doesn't have to be, okay, if I do, you know, 6 somersaults and 10 headstands, then maybe God's going to, you know, notice me and I'm going to be able to speak to him. No. When you live a life of godliness, God's always there. He's always there. And he'll tell you really cool things. You don't have to be holy when you talk to God. I asked him one time, I said, Jesus, I said, you know, because he is coming back on a white horse. I said, how big is your horse? It's like, you know, we could ask God that. It doesn't say anywhere in the Word. We can't ask him questions like that. And quite frankly, he said 23 hands. And I was like thinking, wait a second, the biggest horse in the world, I think, is 18 hands. That's like the Shire horses. Imagine that. I was like, whoa, Jesus, you got a big horse. It's like, well, I think he'd have to be big. A Shire horse, 18 or 19 hands. Yes, so times 4 would be at the shoulder, at the horse's shoulder. So it would be
23 hands at the shoulder.
Yeah, 23 hands at the shoulder.
92 inches. So how many feet is that? Who's a mathematician here?
But like that rim going on the field.
Oh, wow.
Of course.
Yeah, and then the head's above that.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, he's going to fight a war on it, too. So I know, we'll be right behind him. All right, okay. So we've got the godliness. We've got that going on. And then, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So all of this comes through a knowledge. Now, this is a very interesting word. The word knowledge there doesn't mean just knowledge. Like, you know, I go up to people on the street, or you're witnessing, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I heard of him. Is that a knowledge of God? Uh-uh. They know of him, but that knowledge here means to be precise and correct. That's different. That takes it to another level. That's a knowledge that is learned, that is studied, that is, you've sifted through what's right and what's wrong, and you've been led by the Spirit. Because there is false teaching out there. There's, and I want to take a moment and I want to talk about that. Because we're an American society and we're used to driving up to a window, getting our food, or going to the microwave and cooking our dinners through them, and it's, shut up. Michelle's laughing back there. She knows. We're friends. I can tell her that. Okay. But people want to do a fast food diet in the Word of God. They think, hey, I'm just going to flip on TBN and get fed the Word. No. That may build upon your faith. It may encourage you, or you may have, you know, listen to some good worship or whatever on the TV. But you have to have your discerner up. If you ever, or I got Christian television on and something just doesn't feel right, shut it off immediately because it's a false teacher. Let me share something with you. To get on TBN, all you have to do, or any Christian, I'm not picking on TBN, I'm nothing against that, but any Christian, you know, angel, sky angel, what have you, if you could buy airtime, you get on. There's no criteria. There's no degree. There's no school. There's no board that you've got to pass through and have your material judged against. If you can buy airtime, you can get on. Okay, so we've got Christian stations. Where do you think the devil's going to attack and try to put in false and slip in false teachings? Okay, where all the Christians are, where the Christians are watching to see if they can get us over in error. See, Satan doesn't need to get you way over there. No, he just needs to get you 1 inch off course. You talk to him. Is there any pilots in the room? Anyone who's ever flown a plane in here? Bill? I didn't know that. You flown? Have you flown a plane?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Bill, if you get like a foot off course and you're not directed to get back on course, what's going to happen to you if you're flying thousands of miles?
Thousands of miles, you're not going to get into other
countries. Or out in the middle of the ocean. See, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. Think about that. You're in this giant airplane and you get 12 inches off course. That could kill you. Same way with Christianity. 12 inches can kill you. And that's why don't depend on television or radio for your main course in the Word of God. You have got to be diligent, and you'll see this is one of the criteria of our success. We haven't gotten to the 7 steps of success yet. It's maybe a 3-week study here. But you have to know the truth so that when you hear error, your flag should be going up. Oh, I am a stickler for biblical accuracy. And that's one thing I could honestly say. I've never heard anything preached off in this church. It's so wonderful that you could actually, like, down your guard. But I've been in churches where I've heard pastors, and I know the Word pretty well. I love it, and I study it. And I start hearing error. They think I'm taking notes. I'm writing down. I'm writing down the things that are off, you know, to show them or show Rich or what have you. And it never fails. And it's really important. Not that we should be, you know, everyone can make a mistake. I may make a mistake. And if I do make a mistake, please come up and show me so I could be corrected. But you have to not just be willing to just sit under anyone's teaching. Amen? Okay. All right. Looking at verse 4. Verse 3, the glory and virtue. He's called us to glory. I want to cover that word. That word glory there in the New Testament always means a good opinion concerning one, resulting in praise and honor. So God It's calling us to a position where we are always in a place of good standing with everyone, not just with Him, but with everyone, by our life's conduct. The word virtue there means moral goodness or any particular moral excellency, such as modesty and purity. And that can cover the way we dress, the way we speak, just our general affairs. In verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby, the word there in the King James would mean saying, okay, on account of all this that I've just shared with you, God has given us the greatest promises, the greatest of the great promises. That's what the word exceeding means there. And partakers means a partner or an associate, a comrade, or a companion. So when we become a companion, a partaker, a sharer, an associate of God's divine nature, what that means, when you commit to living a life like this, God can trust you with His power. God can trust you with His anointing. And there's people in this room that want a greater anointing. I do. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, God has blessed me with one. Hallelujah. I could do what I do with it. But I know there's more. I know there's a greater level. And we should actually never be satisfied with what we have, because know that there's always more. Yes, is it going to cost you more? Yes. It's going to cost more of your life. It's going to cost more of your time, more of your effort, and more of your energy. But on the other side of that, God cannot be outbought. His blessings will flood over you in a way. You'll stand there someday and you'll just shake your head because there aren't even words. There aren't even words that you have in the English language to even thank Him for what He's doing. It'll just literally, you'll just sit there and go, Lord, I'm speechless before You. Because of that. Because you're continually pursuing that life of excellence. All right. Let me get to at least one of the seven steps to success. Okay. In verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Say that word with me. Diligence.
Diligence.
Add to your faith virtue. Here are the seven steps. When I looked at these categories, those of you who have read through this before, there's actually seven words. Now, here's the key. All that I just talked to you about is kind of like free. It's like you're given that when you start at starting block A. Now, this part's up to you. God says, okay, you're in the door. Here's your membership card. Here's the blessings I'm going to give you. And this is what you can have, but this is up to you. You don't have to do this. God's not going to come to your house and make you do these seven steps. But if you do them, you'll see, it'll put you in ministry. You know that? It shows it quite clearly. Giving all diligence. The word diligence there means, actually, the first word, haste. That means you think of an urgency in your spirit. Like, this isn't something you put on the back burner. This is something that we want to get on right away. A business, care, forwardness, earnest care, carefulness, earnestness in accomplishing, striving after anything. So when we are going after something with all diligence, what that means is that this is a priority in your life. This takes first priority in your life. It's way more important than what's going on. If you have free time, you need to be pursuing these attributes. You need to be working them out in your life, showing, pray, say, Lord, where could I improve? Where can I apply these principles to my life that I could be a success in Your kingdom? Because, well, one, we all know, it doesn't take a lightning-fast mind to look at the news and figure out Jesus is coming back sooner than any of us even realize. And, it's like, I pray, a lot of times, Lord, come back quickly, because that's the one thing we're to do. But then there's a part of me that says, but I want to do all I can, as we only have one shot at it. Do you realize that? What we do here determines our reward in heaven. Right. What we do in these 70, 80, 90, 100 years, if we, the Lord tarries, that short, miniature expanse of time will determine what you do for God in all of eternity, how you will live, everything. What blessings are yours? What crowns you'll have to throw at Jesus' feet? I want to do as much as I can. I want to be fruitful. I want to come in with a couple of semis full, some pallet loads, right, Pastor Bob? He meant a good forklift, ain't that? Of fruit coming in to lay at Jesus' feet. Amen? That's something we need to all be pursuing. And when you realize, you know, we don't have that much time. And maybe God has put a vision in your heart. Maybe He showed you a ministry. It doesn't have to be in front of huge crowds of people. It could be a ministry at the nursing home or visiting the sick. It doesn't matter. In God's eyes, they're all equal. You know what? The big famous preachers and pastors of the world, they are no different in God's eyes than somebody who goes and brings a casserole over to their neighbor and witnesses to them. No different. None. God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. So don't ever think, well, you know, I don't think God's called me to anything great. You don't know that, first of all, because you have no idea where God could take you. Right. When you make yourself available and you say, Lord, use me, I don't care how, just use me. Get ready. Put your safety belts on and tell your family they're coming with, whether they like it or not. You know? And it's because God's going to use you, because He looks. His eyes roam to and fro seeking those who will serve Him in this earth. Okay, so the first step to adding to this, our faith, which is our belief in what we believe in as Christians, is virtue. That's step number one to success. What's virtue? It means moral excellence. Get used to that word. I want to do this in excellence. Everything you do should be in excellence. Our first pastor, Pastor Rob Thompson, up at Family Harvest Center, actually, he's got a television program now, and he's got ministry all over the world. You could go to his website. He's got wonderful books. Hey, he beat that into our heads. I mean, and I'm so thankful for it, that everything you do, especially for God, should be in excellence. And when you do that, when you take the time to maybe to fix yourself up, dress up, you know, if you're coming to church, you know, and I'm not condemning someone who's wearing jeans, because I stand up there in jeans, you know, sometimes, but it's like you want to do everything you can to do your best for God. And it's not just in church, it's on the job. It's how you serve your boss.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the greatest places you prove to God who you really are. It's not to your pastor. It's not to your ministry that you're involved in. It's how do you conduct yourself with your boss? Do you grumble when they leave the room? Do you gossip? Do you say, how can I get out of this? How could I shortcut this? God watches that. And He says, if they'll do that with this world, they'll do it in mine, in my kingdom. So if you want to be used by God, get used to being a servant. When you go to work and your heart's desire is one thing, how can I bring a promotion to my boss? How could I make them look better? Look out. God's blessings are headed your way, quick. And they will. When you set, because that's the heart of God. That's you starting to now walk in His nature. Because why? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given that divine nature. It's in you. It's in every person in this room, the ability to do that. Even if your boss is a jerk. That's when you need to do it even more. Amen? Because you know what? Someday, that boss is going to call you into the office and say, what is wrong with you? Why are you so good? Why do you serve me and work so hard? And you don't, the conviction will be all over them. There's your opportunity to win them to the Lord and just be a witness for Jesus by how you act and how you live your life. So you could just translate that word virtue into moral excellence, living a life of excellence. That is step number one. And I'll do one more, and then I'll quit for tonight. Are you getting anything out of the word tonight? Amen. This is good stuff. Okay, knowledge. It says that to virtue, we are to add knowledge. Now, it doesn't say add to your faith virtue and add to your faith knowledge. This is interesting. Notice that these are building blocks. Each one has to be put on top of the other one. The other one has to be in place and has to be solid and firm before you could put the next principle on top of that. And before you know it, it's going to take you higher and higher and higher. Okay? So, we're living a life of excellence. We add to ourself our life knowledge. Knowledge of what? There's a lot of knowledge out there. Should we all just go back to college? No, actually, it's very specific. It means a general intelligence and understanding the general knowledge of Christian religion, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge, such as belongs to the more advanced. So what is this saying? We should not just, we should read the Word, and the Word should be first and primary in our life, but take time to read other books. Read about some of the great people that have gone before us, like John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth, and some of the miracles that they've walked in. You know, start F.F. Bosworth. Start to familiarize yourself with some of these people. Say, great men and women of God that have done great things for God and things that they've learned. You could pick out a subject like, and the Lord had me in training before I went into the ministry. I was living, we didn't know anybody in Tennessee. We were living way out in the country in Jolton. I didn't know a soul down here. Rich went to work every day. I was bored. You know, I have to clean the house. We don't have kids, so that didn't take very long. God, I didn't know. I was in training for the ministry. For 12 years, God had me reading books. I'd read my Bible every day. That was always. That has never changed. But I was reading things like on the blood atonement in the Old Testament. And I was thinking, why am I reading this? But, you know, I had these books. Libraries full in our house of just books. And I use it all today. I had no idea I was in training. I was in college. I was in the Holy Spirit College. Amen. And I draw on those constantly. We come up with some pretty amazing things in our ministry. Lord's taking us to a different place. We're actually dealing with a lot more people coming out of witchcraft and Satanism. And you have to know the Word. You have to know the principles about the Bible clearer than you ever thought. You have to know to pick out the lies and the twisted things that they teach these people. That you have to be able to spot that out. If you don't have a foundation of knowledge in you and a solid grounding of the Word of God, you're not going to be able to spot those lies, those bondages, those deceptions, where you could bring truth to that and say, no, that's wrong, and I know exactly where that's at, and show them the truth in that. I mean, it is valuable, valuable information. So I just want to encourage you to start, you know, read books. Read, you know, good books. Not weird, flaky stuff that's out there, but the solid things. And if you're not sure about a book or an author, you know, come up to Rich or myself or Pastor Bob or Pastor Peggy and, you know, ask us, say, you know, what do you think about this person? Is this person okay? And, you know, there's wisdom in the counsel of many. Amen? And that's going to feed you. So that's the knowledge that it's talking about. God doesn't want us to stay in first grade. He wants us to advance. He wants us to have our doctorate, in so-called, in the spirit realm, about the things of God. We need to be knowledgeable about these things. We have a very real enemy out there that knows everything. And if we don't arm ourselves with this knowledge, it's going to leave us defenseless. I mean, you may even want to start learning about false religions. How are you going to minister to someone who's in Zen Buddhism? What are you going to say to them when they start, you know, unleashing their lies and the things that they believe? How will you even know how to stand up to that? There's so much. And I hope that I could be able to maybe do a series someday on Wednesday nights on like different cults and different religions and things that are out there and their basis. We need to be educated. We need to arm ourselves with this knowledge. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I better stop there. I'll be fired from my Wednesday night teaching job. Lord, I just thank you for this word tonight. Father God, I thank you for just encouraging each one of us. Lord, let this word just dwell richly in our hearts. Father, bless your people as they meditate upon your word and your truth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for just taking us to another level, taking us deeper into the knowledge of you. We give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.